Okay. You're learning about the Holy Spirit. If you have your Bible, turn where the Holy Spirit leads you. But I hope he will lead you to Romans chapter 10. We're just very honored to be with you today and just to help launch this school. Stand with Sheena and Iris in Newall and stand together with you, with many others, for God's purposes in this nation and in the earth. And so we believe there's, you know, it's not just an academic exercise, there's a commissioning from the Holy Spirit involved in what we're doing today. There's an enabling and there's an empowering. I've not got a PowerPoint, but maybe we can point you to the power. Romans 10, Paul says, concerning the Jews, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is for their salvation. I'm just trying to find the verse, but he says, doesn't he? I wish that if it was possible that I myself be cut off from Christ. You know that verse? Can somebody just find that one quickly? It's in this area. I thought it was just there. Has anybody got that one? Should have checked it. Here we go. It's chapter 9, beginning of chapter 9. Yeah, I got the wrong chapter. I'm telling the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience testifies with me in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. How could Paul pray that? There's only one motivating force through which a person can pray that, and it's love. Intercession, it's a love thing. It's not a method thing, it's a love thing. It was a love thing which brought Jesus to the earth to do that work of intercession on the cross. In Romans chapter 12, Paul says, in view of all of these things, the things which Angela's been telling us about, the new covenant, and in view of his passion for his people Israel, in view of God's passion for them to restore them, and his passion to renew all things in Christ, and the mercies which are poured out, he says, because of these mercies, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Or it's only reasonable to do that. If Jesus gave himself for us, it's only reasonable that we give ourselves back to him. And Angela, in the course of her message, she led us into a prayer of giving ourselves to the Lord for this work of intercession. Well, it's being as a living sacrifice. Stephen Anderson put that verse from that quote from Smith Wigglesworth up about faith comes from a contrite heart. It's an inworked thing in a contrite heart. Intercession comes from a place of brokenness in which the love of God pours into us on behalf of others. And it's in that love we get joined with Jesus, and Jesus joins with us. It's only love which will take us into the deep place which releases God to move things. with Jesus, in Jesus. In 1998, I went, and I was on my own this time, to a church in the north of Denmark, and it was really at the beginning of when the Lord began to open up to us traveling in the nations. And I flew to an airport in the north of Denmark and then caught the bus for about an hour or so to this place where I was going. And it started snowing because it was in December, but I was listening to a cassette tape which was all about the parable of the snow. And the scripture talks about how the snow comes down from heaven and then the sunlight from the Lord melts it. And really he's saying the parable of the snow is a parable of prayer waiting to be answered. So this has become for us, snow has become like a parable from the Holy Spirit. And in fact, we've been to this church many times, and the joke has become whenever we go to this church, it snows. Stephen and Angela's coming. Oh, it's going to snow. And it even snowed so heavily one time we actually couldn't get home that night from the meeting, and they had to bring sleeping bags and blankets and things from the nearby house, and we slept in the church. So it's kind of saying, pay attention, the Holy Spirit's saying, pay attention. About a year ago, in the middle of all the snow, we lived up in Thurso, and our house is for sale, and we've been planning on moving down to the Central Belt for a while. But in the middle of the snow, well, we actually couldn't get out of our road because we were blocked in up in Thurso. And then there was like a three-day window, and it's like the Lord suddenly moved us to come down here, find a flat, and we found a flat. And within 3 days, we'd moved in, and then the weather came in, and you couldn't get back up to Thurso for 2 months. And that was at the time when they had the big dump of snow down in the Central Belt, and Bathgate seemed to get the worst, which is where we're now living. So, and what was fascinating was all the area which normally gets snow, like Aviemore, there wasn't any. So we moved from immovable snow to immovable snow. Now, is this telling us something? You know, if the Lord's parable to us is snow, he says we've come from one area where there's a lot of stored up prayer waiting to be answered to another area where there's a lot of stored up prayer waiting for God to answer. Quite some years ago now, but I had quite an impacting dream. And in this dream, I was traveling across Greenland. And everybody, you know about Greenland, it's just all ice. And I'd gone onto the east coast, and I was going up this valley, and then in the middle of the island, I came across some habitation, and interestingly, there were sort of various schools I was calling in and working in different schools, and eventually I got to the west coast when the ice was beginning to thaw, and it was so real, I thought, well, is the Lord taking us to Greenland? So I was looking on the map and saying, well, there's not a lot on the east coast. And where's this valley? I couldn't identify the valley. And then one time we were flying across to the USA or Canada or somewhere, and we're going across Greenland. The pilot says, oh, we're going across Greenland right now. So I was looking out the window, where's this valley? Well, I couldn't see this valley. And then really within the recent months, I suddenly thought, stupid, Steve, you should know exactly what that dream means because the parable is stored up snow. And so we've, for the last 10, 12 years, have been on a journey connected with stored up snow, bringing the snow and facilitating the release of the answer. And in the middle of it, we're doing schools. And so we've been doing lots of prophetic schools in Scotland and all over Europe and some in Canada and some in America. And, you know, and this is a school, and we're happy to come and facilitate what God is doing here. But the Lord is taking us to that time when the prayer begins to get answered and the snow begins to melt. Angela mentioned a meeting we had in Edinburgh just a few weeks back, and during the course of that meeting, the Holy Spirit just suddenly dropped into my spirit, the fire melts the snow. The fire melts the snow. It's the passion of love will take us into the prayer, and it's the passion of love which will cause the prayers to get answered. It's the passion of the love of God. And as the love of God comes into our heart, he will raise up ministries which bring the answers. So as the passion of love gets in Iris's and Sheena's hearts and your heart, and you come together as a praying prophetic company, prayers not only come, but they get answered. So more prayer is an answer to prayer. It's the fire of love which will melt the snow. Pray love. Pray love. So let's just stand, and I want to go into something else in just a moment. I've got notes for all of these, so you can have. I'll bring the give you the notes at the end. But let's just say, Lord, we're singing, you know, more love, more power at the beginning. But let's say, Lord, put the passion of your love in me. Here I am as a living sacrifice. Lord Jesus, we praise you that in the passion of your love for lost humanity, you came down to earth and you took absolutely every last bit of our rebellion and sin and rottenness and ugliness and selfishness into yourself. You took it away, every last bit, so that there is not one single whisper of a word speaking against us. And this is the new covenant. We thank you for such love, Lord, that your salvation is so rich and so powerful and so total. And we thank you, Lord, that through the prayers of others, revelation was birthed into our heart of the gospel, Lord. And we just give ourselves, Lord, to join with you in your mission to earth to see it saved. To see the sons of God reborn to bring the earth back into its original designated glory. So, Lord, fill us. Fill us, Lord. As you were a sacrifice, Lord, we join with you in your work. We say, here we are, takers, consumers with your love. We're living sacrifices. You died for us, Lord. We have no life left outside of you. Holy Spirit, fill us. Fill us. Fill us with burning fire. Fill us with passion. Fill us with passion which will take us. Let this nation discover love again. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just go now in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 2. First of all, I urge that entreaties, prayers, petitions, and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. Or it would be better to say entreaties or supplications, prayers, and intercessions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, leaders, and he desires everyone to be saved. I call this the prayer journey. And we've touched on much of this already. Stephen Anderson this morning touched on it. Angela's commented on it. But you can see there is a progression. When you look at the Greek, there is a progression in these words. And I just want to open this up a little bit and look at the parable of Jericho as an example of this. But But in many situations, or in most situations, our prayer begins with petitioning. There's nothing wrong with petitioning. And sometimes petitioning gets the answer. Wonderful. But if petitioning doesn't get the answer, you know, just asking, Lord, will you do this? Yeah, sure, I'll do that. We must understand the answer is never no. The answer is never no. Jesus died, went to hell, rose from the dead to defeat the power of the enemies, to wipe away sin, to bring in the blessing and the restoration of God. The answer is never no. But there's a process. So Jesus said, ask. And if asking gets the result, wonderful. But if asking doesn't get the result, Jesus says, go further, seek. And this is really what this next word is, prayer. Prosuche is the Greek word. Petition is deesis, first word. Prosuche, normal word for prayer, prayer to God. But it's like prayer with an emphasis. Lord, I'm beginning to pray about this. You know, we need this. Lord, you need this. For your kingdom, Lord, it's promised in your word. I'm taking hold. I'm really, you get the idea. It's more than just a simple asking. You're engaging. But it's still, we could say, mostly asking. And that can extend a considerable period of time. You know, the timescales involved can be very, very variable from seconds, minutes to years and decades. And then Jesus said, if you don't get through the seeking stage, you've got to go to the knocking stage. Where we could say it's this connects with the intercession word. Now, we've had some different definitions of intercession, this meeting place. Another, the word here actually is enterxis. One idea of this word is to interrupt. Okay, let's give you an example. Maybe our friend over here can help me. Okay, maybe my friend over there can help me. Okay. If either of you decide to be God for a day, just now's your chance. Okay. Let's just get some more. He's got more experience. Wow. Okay. You may enjoy being God for at least a couple of minutes. Okay, so you are bringing your petitions to the Lord. So just go ahead bringing some petition to the Lord. And never mind what I do. Please don't be offended by what I might do. So I'm going to demonstrate an aspect of intercession. Okay, off you go. You see, I'm joining with Stephen Anderson and we're taking hold for defeat of cancer. And so we start with our petitioning. Is this possible, Lord? We come to the conclusion it's possible. So, Lord, we're engaging for cancer. But then, you know, we've got friends who are dying of cancer. And so we know we've got to go into that deeper place. Something's got to grip in our spirit. We've got no way. We've got to connect with God so that we know there's a transaction happening in the spirit. And you know, and our friends are dying, and so it's getting desperate, and it's, you know, we're not just problem solving, but we're bringing the kingdom. We're bringing what Jesus died to give us on the cross. We're bringing redemption. We're bringing resurrection. And we've got to get in that place where we're in the face of God, and we're saying, just give me 5 minutes. You can come back to him in a minute, but just give me 5 minutes because my friend up there needs healing right now. And I'm not letting you go until you say yes. On the basis of Calvary. On the basis of Calvary. On the basis of Calvary, he says, yes. Thank you. You may be seated. See, it has this idea of interruption, getting in the face of God, you know, clearing the space and saying, Lord, Jesus died for this. You have to give it. And the Lord enjoys that kind of praying. Audacious praying before the throne of God. You see, Jesus said, ask. If you don't get by asking, seek. If you don't get by seeking, knock. If you don't get by knocking, kick the door down. Because God desires that what Jesus accomplished on the cross is manifest on the earth. And this is what the Holy Spirit is joining together with us and others with him to see accomplished. So that's why there are these moments when the Holy Spirit just comes upon us and he grips us. Yeah. Now let's go to the stuff in your notes, which I'm not going to touch, but you'll be blessed by it. Let's go to the book of Joshua. And you'll know the story. It's about the taking of Jericho. I'll just highlight some bits. We'll not read the whole passage. But the story of taking Jericho illustrates several aspects of this process of prayer. Firstly, there was an assignment. Your assignment is Jericho. But this was the first city in the promised land. Who likes the idea of going into the promised land? Okay, well, you're going to meet some Jerichos. But we must understand the Lord is taking us into the promised land. The answer is not no. And so he gives us assignments. Maybe cancer is an assignment. It probably was about 1997 we heard, what's his name, the prophet chap, Paul Kane. He was visiting Edinburgh and everybody was eager to get personal prophecies, but he didn't give any personal prophecies. So I thought, well, if he's not giving personal prophecies, what he's bringing in the word will be prophetic. And he said, I believe God will give cancer into the hands of the church. And then since that time, we've had Bethel rise up saying, we're declaring our city as a cancer-free zone and other people are following suit. So it could be the Holy Spirit is saying to the church, cancer is an assignment. In fact, I fully believe that. The Lord's given three assignments here this morning. Stephen shared them, didn't he? Revelation of the Father heart to God, not merely to the church, but to the nation. And then the touching of the heart of the menfolk. And then the raising up of the young men into intercession from 12 upwards. Three assignments. Let's just stand. We just say, Lord, just put these assignments in our spirit, Lord, what they mean and how they are to be worked out. Lord, we want to take hold together with you, Lord. We don't want these just to be nice little thoughts, but rather, Lord, just let there be a working out of these in days to come, Lord, in your way and in your time. Just for like 1 minute, everybody together, speaking out loud, just take one of these three and just start asking right now. Just for 1 minute, just go right now. The assignments. We receive the assignments. We receive the assignments. Yes. Amen. You may be seated. So there are assignments. Now, Jericho was tightly shut. Uh-oh. Isn't this our experience so often? The Lord gives us an assignment, and it looks totally and utterly impossible. It's tightly shut because of the people of Israel. The enemy says, this is my territory, you're not coming in. But the Lord says, no, this is my territory, my people are coming in. But there's this intimidation. When the Twin Towers fell, you know, what an amazing day that was, because, you know, I was in my work in my office and people said, look on the internet. And it was just like a horror movie, wasn't it? Like one of these disaster movies. And you just could not believe that this was happening. And we'd scheduled a prophetic gathering at the church in Thurso that evening. And it was a Tuesday evening, I remember, and we all came together and we were all, I don't know if you were there, Sheena. And, you know, instead of sort of getting into your normal, you know, moving in the Lord, it's kind of, we were just all under this really heavy thing. We just did not know how to respond. How do we pray about this? What do we do about this? You know, here is prophetic people, and what do you do? And it was just, and it's like the whole nation was under, and then America was under this. And I suddenly thought, we're being intimidated. We're being intimidated. And we just found something and we just started to praise the Lord for who he is, that the Lord is higher than it. So the enemy intimidates, and he can intimidate very powerfully, but the Lord is higher than it. And often our prayer assignments can be totally intimidating to us, but we must not be daunted. When we stop to think, actually, with Israel, the Lord had given them some practice victories. You know, they'd been in the wilderness, and then they'd had the victory over Sion, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and the Lord had sent the spies in, and they'd seen the city, and you know, this Rahab the harlot was favorable to them. So it's this kind of, the Lord gives you little tastes of what's going to come. So he says, look, I'm giving you it. Here's a little taste, but I'm giving you the whole thing. Here's a few healings of cancer, but I'll give you the whole thing. Because it says the last enemy to be destroyed will be death, which means other enemies get done first. Hallelujah. And the Lord had just taken them from the wilderness into the promised land. So the wilderness was like existing, but the promised land is taking. The wilderness is fruitless activity, but the promised land is actualization, realization. Wilderness is hoping, promised land is having. We want these things, don't we? We want all these things for our own nation and for the earth. Wilderness is futility, promised land, fulfillment. So the Lord is taking us into these things. Stage by stage, the Lord is opening up to us what the redemption of Christ accomplished. So going into the land is like our first steps of believing the promise. When our heart begins to catch hold of the promise of the scripture, disease can be healed. People can be raised from the dead. Scotland can be saved, you know, whatever it might be. And so when our heart agrees with the promise of God, that's like crossing the river. And the river is like dying to the past, going, saying, I'm giving for the new. It's all or nothing. It's now or never. It's get or die. So there's a seriousness about this. When we went to Toronto right at the end of 1994, and we went there for the first meeting, and I think this must be our first meeting, and we got there on the plane, had about an hour's rest, and then gone into the meeting, and with this big long line, and people jostling each other, all these nice, kind Christians jostling each other to get into the line. And I think it was the first day in this new building, which so things were a bit late because they're getting them ready. Everybody rushing to the seat and grabbing the best seat in the nice, kind Christian way people do. And then they had the worship, and I was kind of thinking, oh, yeah, this is a nice presence of the Lord here. And the person preached the message, and he says, don't come up for ministry unless you're prepared to be a martyr for Jesus. Are we going up? We've just flown 3,000 miles. We're 5 hours jet-lagged. Are we going up? We had no option. You see, going into the promised land, you're going across a river. And there's no going back. But we get the promised land. And the Lord took them into the promised land when they were ready. Hallelujah, that's good news, isn't it? We're ready. What he's taking us into, he's already prepared us for. Circumcision, the cutting of the heart, so that we're given to his purposes, being living sacrifices, burning with love, all for him, nothing for ourselves. Encountering the Lord, you know, Joshua met the Lord, didn't he? Are you for us, or are you again for our enemies? No, I'm. Are you for me? Oh, is it like that? Yeah, it's like that. Are you for me? And it's so intercession isn't about ourselves, is it? It's about the Lord. Are you for me? I'm the captain of the Lord's host. I'm the one releasing the purposes of God. But am I good or am I good? It's going to be good. Hallelujah. So these are heart alignment things. So the Lord does this heart aligning work with his heart before he releases us into the battle. But Jericho tightly closed appears impossible, but the Lord gives a plan. Does anybody feel in your life you've been going round in circles? Anybody honest? Okay. Well, here's a quick prayer to pray. Just pray it right now. Lord, relocate the circle. Easy prayer to pray. You see, the Lord said, you've been going around this mountain in the wilderness too long. Cross over the river, just go around this city. They were good at going around things. So the Lord says, okay, it's very wise, is the Lord. Just go around this city. I'll make it easy for you. So even though it was totally impossible, intimidating, overwhelming, the Lord says, just do what you normally do. And I'll do the rest. But there's one difference I would like to make. Zip it. Zip it. Zip the lip. And it was like that little cartoon thing on the telly, wasn't it? That puppet thing. Zip. See, we're so good at speaking negative. We're so good at speaking unbelief. We're so good at speaking our own lack of worth, whereas we're resurrected in Christ. We're so good at, you know, all the negative stuff. The Lord says, just shut up and believe me. So all this grumbling, groaning, complaining, whatever, God's not doing anything. You know, why is God not blessing Scotland? Why is this not happening? Why is this not getting healed? Why is that? Just shut up. We're on a journey to the promised land where everything gets taken care of. Do we believe we're on this journey to the promised land with Jesus where everything gets taken care of, even death itself? But instead, they were following the ark. So the focus was on the covenant promise of God. I don't know if somebody can find the slider and just put this one down a little bit. They were following the covenant promise of God. And the trumpets were blowing. What are the trumpets? Well, the trumpets are frequently symbolic of prophecy. So the covenant promise of God, the scripture, and the now words of God, which is the prophetic revelation we have, what's God saying he wants to do in Scotland right now? He wants to reveal his father heart to the nation. Listen. Listen. That's okay, yeah. To what the Lord is saying, and we take note, and we shut the lip, and we start to repeat what the Lord is saying. But they went round day one, nothing happened. We've been praying for a month, and we've still not got revival. Okay, we'll go around. We'll have another prayer meeting. Go around again, still nothing happening. Keep the lip shut. Keep the trumpets sounding. Keep your eyes on the ark. Day six. Oh, this is getting hard. And what are the people of Joshua doing? I don't know, maybe they're throwing stones at them, but they still had to keep the lips shut and hear the trumpets and keep their eyes on the covenant promise and knowing that the Lord was giving them the promised land. And something was in their spirit, and the Lord had done this work in their spirit so that they were ready, and they were commissioned, and they were circumcised in heart, and they were given to the Lord's purpose, and they knew it was all or nothing. They knew it was do or die. And on the last day, we know the walls fell down. There will come a moment where everything will open up. When I was a student, you know, I was very, I could say, motivated to not remain single. But, you know, you have to go through that process. What's the Lord's plan for me? Is the Lord's plan for me to stay single? Well, at a summer missionary outreach thing, at some training, at a training exercise, they said, taught the young man and the young lady separately. But it says, you know, for 98% of the people, the plan of the Lord is you get married. And I thought, well, that's a help and an encouragement. But you still got to find the specific will of the Lord. And I prayed and heard nothing. And I prayed and I heard nothing. And I prayed more and I heard nothing. And I went nothing. And I went from asking into the prayer process. And I went from the prayer process into the really engaging situation. And this went on for years, and it was just like the heavens were brass, just like the walls were tightly shut. And then right at the end of my university course, suddenly the Holy Spirit came on me one night, and next morning I knew beyond shadow of a doubt Angela would be my wife. Now, we'd known her for 3 years over the university course, but we'd not started courting. Up to that point, she'd become a Christian in that period. And cut a long story short, I thought, well, what do I do? Well, I had to do what the people of Israel did. You know, when the Lord opened up, they went straight in. They didn't, you know, when the walls came down, they didn't go, oh, look at that. Can you work out how that happened? Did God do that? Was it an earthquake? And what the Jericho people are going to do now? They might have come out. No, it says they went straight in, and the Lord instructed them, when the walls come down, you go straight in and take the city. Completely, totally. So when the Lord, in this prayer process, he takes our heart into that place where we want this. See, we will not persist in the prayer process unless that desire is there, unless that fire of love is taking us all the way through. And so when it opens up, the Lord says, go and take fully. If the Lord opens up one cancer healing, go for 1,000 cancer healings. I married her. So what's the Lord going to be giving for Scotland? You know, you will find the Jerichos. We'll all find our Jerichos. But we have to listen to the prophetic word. We have to take hold of the covenant promise of God that Jesus has risen from the dead, that the kingdom of God will come in fullness and every enemy will be placed under his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death when he comes. So what happens before he comes? We can deduce the logic there. We will have our Jerichos, but things are going to open up. And when things open up, we have to go right in and take hold. When things open up in Scotland, we have to go right in and take hold. Are things going to open up in Scotland? Absolutely! Because we have a Father God who is committed to this land because he loves us! And it's the fire of his love in our heart which will take us into that burning place. Let's stand. So when things open up, we go right in and we take fully. There's one warning, we don't covet. We don't covet. Which brings the judgment. Everything becomes an offering back to the Lord. And that's why Paul says, with thanksgivings. And there's this place where we come to when we've gone through that place of intercession and we know in our spirits it's given. And at that point, we start to make the prophetic proclamations with thanksgivings, and we persist in the proclamations until those walls come down, and that's what the trumpets also represent, the proclamations. These walls are coming down, this city is taken, this land is being saved in the mercy of God, and we go in fully confident in our God. So Lord, we've heard your word, but work the truth of it in us. Take us on this journey, Lord. Take us on this journey. And Lord, We know we cannot do it on our own. We thank you that you've given the Holy Spirit. But Holy Spirit, put the fire of heaven's love in us for a hurting, broken land, a hurting, broken earth, a hurting, broken people all over the world, Lord. We thank you for this glorious privilege of working together with Jesus in his intercession for the earth. And we thank you that there will be a glorious victory and a wonderful going beyond anything that we can ever ask or think, realization of the things which we're even now just touching. Take us into it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
I believe that that's what you are, these trumpeters. You've got your trumpet there. And the Lord's going to bring you more trumpeters. So you're going to places to bring the walls down. And it's for such a time as this. And so much of what you're doing is going to, the Lord is going to give you prophetic words for the places you go to. So you just proclaim them. That's what the trumpet is. It's these prophetic words. And it's more that type of intercession where you're doing the proclaiming, because it's the moment we're at to see these walls come down. And every place on which your foot shall tread, I'm giving it to you, and I'm bringing down the walls. I'm bringing down the places. I give you assignment to go and take down the walls with your trumpets. You are trumpets, and I will bring more trumpeters. There will be people that have the characteristic of not a normal prayer type person. They are trumpeters the Lord is bringing to you.